Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
Corinthians chapter 10. Two brothers who were terrible troublemakers. They're always breaking things, stealing things, lying, making all kinds of general trouble around the neighborhood. The parents had tried everything to get the boys to change, to no avail. Finally, out of options, they asked their pastor. That was the first mistake. They let things get crazy, and then they brought them to the pastor. But they asked the pastor, "Can you help?" He says, "I will talk to the boys, but I can only talk to them one at a time." So the parents dropped off the youngest and went home, promising to return to get him soon. The boys sat in the chair across from the pastor's desk, and they just looked at each other in silence. Finally, the pastor said, "Where is God?" The boy just sat there and didn't answer. The pastor began to look stern and loudly said, "Where is God?" The little boy shifted in his seat uneasily but still didn't answer. The pastor, starting to get angry at the boy's refusal to converse and practically shouted, "Where is God?" To which, to the pastor's surprise, the little boy jumped up, ran out of the office, left the church, and ran all the way home, up the stairs, into his big brother's room, slammed the door, locked it behind him, and panting, he said, "We're in big trouble. God is missing, and they think we did it." These are getting harder to find, y'all. We've been doing these a while. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's our fourth part of Mind Monsters. I still might finish today, but we might have to go to a fifth, and I'm pastor, so we can do that. They say the perfect amount of sermons in a series is four, but we might have to go to a fifth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." I want to preach for a few moments on the subject, Mind Monsters, Part 4. Mind Monsters, Part 4. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, "Your mind is a terrible thing to waste." You may be seated. The last session, some of the truths that we covered is that we have access to a new mind as a believer, a new way of thinking as a believer. The Bible says in two places, Paul encourages us to put on the mind of Christ, that we now have the mind of Christ in us. That means as a believer, we have the choice. I can think like God or think like something else. Now, let me say that again. See, anytime when we start talking about a choice and we take the responsibility out of someone else's hands and place it on ourselves, we get a little tight and we get a little quiet, because responsibility means it is solely up to us. Nobody can make you do something. Nobody can make you think something. You have to allow yourself to get to the point where you think that. And so Paul reminds us that as a believer in Jesus Christ, the day you got saved, you were totally regened. New heart, new spirit, new soul, new mind. Which if you have a new mind, it means the words that you say are new. Oh, come on, Pastor. I've only been saved 6 months. It's hard to get a lot of those four-letter words out of my vocabulary. That's the old man talking. The new man talking doesn't talk like that anymore. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. And if I have the mind of Christ, I think different thoughts. If I think different thoughts, then I speak in different ways. I watch different things. I listen to different things. Why? Because I am guarding the mind, the gateway into my mind and into my life. And so you have access. We have access to a new mind and a new way of thinking as believers. We also discussed that a renewed mind is a transformed mind. That Romans chapter 12 tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And we talked about that being saved, although it is a once-in-a-lifetime decision and moment, that lordship of Jesus and making him Lord of our lives is an everyday decision. that every day I'm either taking Jesus off the throne or I'm keeping him on the throne of my heart, the throne of my life, and the throne of my mind. Paul would say that daily I take up my cross and I follow Christ, meaning that daily it is a decision that I think about Jesus to the point that I pick up the cross of Christ and I carry it every day. If I'm carrying the cross of Christ, I don't have time to carry the weight of the world. If I carry the cross of Christ, I don't have time to carry or strength to carry the opinion of man. When I'm carrying the cross of Christ, my mind is focused on each step I take under the weight of the cross so that I do not stumble, so that I do not. You know it's impossible to backslide if you're carrying the cross. Do you know it's impossible to go back to how you used to be? When we talk about people backsliding, what we're really talking about is their mind is no longer focused on the cross, the blood, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if I'm thinking about the cross that he died on, if I'm thinking about the blood that he shed, and if I'm thinking the fact that he rose 3 days later for me, why would I ever go back when I've got so much to live from and so much to live for? My mind is transformed and is renewed every day. And we ended with, in the middle of the thought, the point, you decide what you think. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your affection, or your mind, the NIV says, on things above, not on things on the earth. I encourage you, turn off Fox News and CNN. Don't get a lot of that in your spirit. Turn off the local news. Listen, I watched the news the other day. The news was bad, the weather was bad, and the sports, they were all bad news. Now, why am I putting 22 minutes of this into my life when I could be spending 22 minutes with my family? I could be spending 22 minutes in worship, in prayer, in the Word. Why am I letting my mind be dumbed down by bringing it down when God said you need to set your mind up? I gave the illustration. It was halfway through before we just kind of lost control and people shouted me down and we had an altar call, but I've never lost my keys. My keys, when I say they're lost, were the last place that I set them. And so when I lose my keys, people always ask, when was the last place you had them? If I knew that, I would know where they're at. The other thing that I don't like is when you lose your keys, well, what do they look like? They look like keys. Set your mind on things above. Where you set your mind is your decision. You're either going to think God thoughts or you're going to think world thoughts. You're either going to think faith thoughts or you're going to think flesh thoughts. And so where you set your mind is up to you. The president can't set your mind. The next president can't set your mind. Congress cannot set your mind. The preacher cannot set your mind. Your boss cannot set your mind. Your mother-in-law cannot set your mind. Nobody, Jesus can't even set your mind. Jesus said, you have to set your mind and decide, what am I going to think on? And when I think on this, what are the end results going to be in my life? My friend Andrew Willis has a phrase that he uses when I tell him something crazy that somebody did. He said, have they lost their ever-loving mind? He says, that's crazy. I can't believe they would do that. They did not lose their mind. Remember, you can't lose something. You just forgot where you set it. So when somebody loses their mind, they didn't lose their mind. They just set it on the wrong thing. When they start acting crazy, it's a result that their mind was not stayed on Jesus Christ. But somewhere along the day, the week, the month, or the year, they allowed their mind to be set in a place around people, around things, around spirits that were not Christ-like, that were not word-based. And somewhere along the line, they think that they lost it, but they really didn't lose their mind. The reason they're acting crazy is because they set their mind in a place it should have never been in the first place. Have you ever made a mistake that you could blame, I would not have done that if I had not been in that situation around those people? But who decided to get in the car? Who decided to go to the party? Who decided to put that substance in their body? who decided to put themselves in that situation. Set your mind on things that you don't lose your mind. You never lose it. It's where you set it. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, strong text from the Apostle Paul. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You decide, listen to this, you decide where you're going, what you're going to set in your mind and what you're going to set your mind on. The deposits I make in here are my choice. What I choose to set my mind on is my choice. When you set your mind concretely on Jesus and his word, you will no longer live a life of fornication. You will no longer live a life of uncleanliness and inordinate affection. I could throw down and preach on some things just from those first three things when he talks about fornication, uncleanliness, and inordinate affection. But I'm here to tell you that anything that takes the throne of your life is called idols. And it is idolatry, and it's the last thing that Paul mentions. It is impossible for me to worship another God with my mind stayed on Christ. It's impossible for me to fornicate with my mind stayed on Christ. It's impossible for me to have inordinate affections if my mind is set on Christ. And so the next time that you start thinking crazy things, before you act on the thought, you better shut yourself up in a closet. You better shut everybody else out the room. You better pray up. You better get Holy Ghost filled and speak in tongues for a few moments. You better get in your word. Why? Because you're about to sabotage the promise of God in your life by letting the monsters of your mind do something and make you think something that causes you to do something that makes you lesser than the child of God that God's called you to be. Here's another truth. You control what you allow to stay in your mind. You and I are flesh. We have thoughts every day that we should not have. Just driving down Interstate 35, Loop 410, Loop 1604 during rush hour, you will have a thought that you shouldn't have. If you've been married longer than 15 minutes, you will have a thought about your spouse that you should not have. I was watching Criminal Minds late yesterday. I should not have watched that because I had to go get in bed next to Mandy. I slept with one eye open. I was clutching the cross and my Bible as I slept. If you've had kids, you've thought things that you shouldn't think. If you've ever been in public, you've thought things that you shouldn't think. We've thought things since we've been in God's house today. I can't believe she's worshiping. I heard that he did this with her and her husband found and all. We all have these thoughts. Having those kinds of thoughts is what we call flesh. When I would do good, evil is present around me, but it's not in me. So when I have a thought that is contrary to the word of God and the promise of God and is contrary to faith, it is up to me, church, to evict that thought out of my life as quick as I can. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to say. The first thing you need to say is the devil is a liar. And I'm not going to think that way. I have the mind of Christ, and I'm not going to think that way about that person. I'm not going to allow that lustful thought to stay in my mind. I'm not going to allow that bigoted thought to stay in my mind. That is not who I am. That is who I used to be. And who I used to be is under the blood of Jesus. Satan, you are a defeated foe. God, I give you praise. God, I give you glory. Thank you for waking me up today. And And somewhere along the line, you went from declaring the word of God and taking control of your mind to an all-out praise break. And you're going to open your eyes up 8 minutes later and think, what was I doing? And little did you know that you undid that thought that was trying to take root in your mind by a declaration, by praying and praising just for a few moments. Sometimes you need to just chill for a little bit and not tell that person off. Because the way you're thinking is going to make you say things that you should not say. You control. We control what we allow to stay in our minds. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We decide what we allow to stay, live, and reside in our minds. I encourage you to get all the help that you can get. And Bishop touched a little bit on this on Wednesday night. But I refuse to lay down on a leather couch and pay a shrink $225 an hour to tell them what happened to me when I was 4 years old. That is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, when I have those kind of thoughts, I'm not going to go to the past. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to say, God, I don't have to deal with those things. I'm not going to let them live. I've lived with them for 15 years, and I'm not going to live with them for 15 minutes longer. Because you cannot grab what's in front of you if you're continually searching for what is behind you. Your mind is valuable real estate. Be careful who you lease it to. Your mind is valuable real estate. Be careful who you lease it to. Don't let an ex-spouse take up that much. They didn't take up that much room when you were married. Maybe that's why you're not married anymore. But anyway, that's beside the point. Don't let them take up valuable real estate. Give that space to God. Get you a new friendship. Get you a new relationship. Put some word in that place. Put some praise in that place. Put some worship in that place. Do something. Don't let everybody around you. I love what Mandy said during the women's conference. Everybody is not deserving of a follow on Instagram, Facebook, or in real life. Don't allow that person to take up place in. You can evict them today. And I know the state of Texas says you got to give them 30 days notice. I'm here to tell you, in your mind, you don't have to give them 30 seconds notice. You can tell them to hit the bricks, to go kick rocks, and evict them out of your mind, saying, I've got too much to live for small thinking, small minded people. I've given you too much of my life thinking about what you care, what you think, and caring about what you think in my life. I'm not going to do it any longer. Dad's always told me, invest in real estate. It's the one thing that they're not making any more of. You're mine. You're not getting any more of it. I said a couple sessions ago, quit giving a piece of your mind to everybody. You're running out. Quit renting a room to everybody in your mind. You're running out of rooms. Quit giving everybody a chair in your life when they don't deserve a chair. Quit giving everybody 3 minutes of your... Listen, one of the worst things you can say to me, and I'll just be honest, is, Pastor, can I have an hour of your time? Man, an hour? The most valuable thing I have is an hour. Time is the most valuable thing. That doesn't mean I don't want to sit down with you, pray for you, counsel you, guide you, and advise you according to the word of God. But don't lead with that, because the time is the most valuable thing I have. And so when we give people a spot in our mind, we're giving them time because we're thinking about them and what they said and what they did. You're not getting any more of it. Don't waste it. So, Pastor, what should I think about? How do I know if what I'm thinking is the right thing? Just run down the list. Is it true? Well, I don't know if it's true. If you don't know if it's true or false, quit thinking about it. Well, let me pray and see if he's the right one. If you got to pray to see if he's the one you should date, he's not the one you should date. Here's a quick checklist. Is he here today? Or is he at a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church like this today? Does he honor his father and his mother? Does he read his Bible? Not does he put a quote on Facebook every Thursday. Does he tithe? Does he offer? Does he serve at the church? Well, I'm just happy he goes to church. Wrong answer, sister. What about him? Does she come to church? Does she look? Does she wear the same clothes to church that she wore to the club last night? Not saying you can't dress like that here. We'll take anybody. I'm just saying that shouldn't be the one you choose to date right now. Let God clean her up and then enter a relationship. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it something you have to lie about? Something you have to sneak around doing? I had a gentleman tell me, he's a great member of this church. God delivered him from drinking years ago. I said, what was the thing that got you delivered? Was it a great sermon I preached? Did I lay my hands on you and anoint you with oil and God just broke that addiction? He said, no. What happened? He said, I was walking out of HEB with a case of beer, and he said, I saw somebody from church. And he said, I literally got down on my hands and knees and crawled to my car. And he said, God spoke to me in that moment and said, if you've got to hide it, you shouldn't do it. Wasn't a sermon that I preached. Wasn't a song that they sang. It was God saying, hey, let me holler at you for a minute in aisle 3 of parking lot at HEB and tell you what you're doing is not honest. This is not what your mind should be doing. Raise your level of thinking and you'll raise your level of living. Is it just? Does it bring justice? Is it fair? Is it pure? Purity has been lost in our culture. 12-year-olds now looking like they're 26-year-olds. 8-year-olds with better phones than I've got. The purity of a generation has been robbed, not lost, has been robbed from them. Let your kids be kids. Well, they're 10 and they don't want to go to VBS. That's your fault. You've been treating them like they're 27, cussing them out. Taking a football game. Oh, you're going to play football. You're going to play soccer. Your daddy's ticket to the World Series. Let them be kids. Let them have the purity of life, the purity of our sexuality. I know it's a mixed congregation on Sunday, but if it's pure, think on it. If it's not pure, run from it. Pornography is terrible. Break that addiction. Allow Jesus to break that addiction. And the worst thing about pornography is once you see it, you'll always see it until God captures your mind. Because your mind takes photographs of everything that you see. Is it pure? I'm going to think about it. If it's not, I'm not going to think about it. And if I continually think about it, I'm going to pray to God that he breaks that curse over my life of wrong thinking. Is it lovely? Is it lovely? Is it lovely? Does it spread love? Is it birthed in love? Is it delivered in love? If it's lovely, I want to think about it. Is it virtuous? Having virtue. Virtue is another purity word. Does it inspire praise? Not any praise, but praise to Jehovah God. Praise that he took us out of the miry clay and set us on the rock to stay. Pastor, what do I need to think about? This is the list of 8 things that you need to think about every day. And if your mind should wander, you got to get back to this list. Here's another truth. What your mind focuses on, you will become. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think about it long enough, you're going to become what you think. Good or bad. You think enough faith, you're going to faith it into being. But if you think enough on the wrong thing, that's the direction your life is going to turn. And you will achieve whatever you thought about. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. You play lust games, you win lustful prizes. You play the wrong and you think the wrong thoughts, you're going to get exactly what you've been thinking about. And let me tell you something, we do not want most of the stuff that we allow our minds to wander to. Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, in all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. That's what we shout about, because Jesus said, if you can think it and believe it and faith it, you shall receive it. I'm talking to somebody who right now you've got some abnormality in your body. If you can think the right thought about Jesus today, man, I listened to some good preaching on healing this morning at 7 a.m. and it fired me up. If you can think about healing long enough, your belief in healing is going to change, which means your faith is going to be inspired, which means your talk and your walk will now match what you thought, and guess what? That abnormality cannot stay. Can I encourage you, get a better confession about your marriage, but you will not get a better confession about your marriage until you change your mind about your marriage. You need to quit muttering. You need to quit grumbling. You need to quit calling him names in your mind. You need to quit calling her names in your mind, and you ought to start thinking, that's the woman I married. That's the woman who bared my children. That's the man who works like a dog to put a roof over our head, and I'm going to honor him even when he doesn't deserve honor. I'm going to think about him the way that I used to think about him, so he becomes the man that God wants me to be, wants him to be, the woman that God wants her to be. Here's one more. What you choose to remember decides what you will receive. What you choose to remember decides what you will receive. Some of us choose to remember the hell that we've been through, and we bring that hell right back into our present because we think on it so much that we literally begin to shake. Our blood pressure skyrockets because we think of what someone did to us in 1996. And we think of what someone said to us 6 months ago, and we get fighting mad all over again. And what happens? We receive what we remember. But instead of remembering the hell that you've been through, I want you to remember that God has been with you every step of the way. Instead of remembering all of the pain, remember the purpose that you found in the middle of that pain. Can I talk to somebody who you've got a new husband that loves you and cares for you? And I want to tell you, I know God's will is never divorce, but if you would have just kept thinking about the first guy you married and the loser that you married, could it be that now we got through that to get to this, and instead of talking ill about him and thinking about him, look at what God brought you in your life today. Look at how far you've come. Look at where God has brought you to. What you remember, you will receive. You say, prove that biblically. I'm glad to do that for you. That's what I always try to do. To remember is a function of our mind. Verse 13 says, they'll put it on the screen for you. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God will give you rest and will give you this land. A reminder. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. He's saying, I can tell that you forgot by the way you're talking and by the way you're acting. It's not the fact that we don't hear good preaching and good word 7 days a week. It's not the fact that Jesus gave us 66 books that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned by men, kept safe for the last 6,000 years so that we could read them, receive them, shout about them today. All of that is true and fine. It's not that the worship wasn't powerful today. It's not that God doesn't have a great plan for you. It's somewhere along the line we get out of here and our mind is no longer focused on Jesus. We allow it to be focused on our problem or what we're facing, and we forget what he said, what he promised, and what he did. I've lived 38 years, and I look back at my life. And when I look back at my life, I remember some heinous things that I went through and some things that I didn't enjoy going through. But my mind bounces off those very quickly, and I press fast forward on those memories, and I get to the end, and I remember God showing up like Superman and taking all of the pain away and making sure that all of the things I was going through were put under my feet. I remember the times he came to my bedside to remind me the devil is defeated. it. Now get up and walk like it and act like it. And I had to shake myself and get my mind right and remember what he did for me then, he will do for me today. But what he does for me today will be greater than what he did for me then, because God is not losing power. He's more powerful today than he has ever been. That means what he did yesterday, he wants to outdo today. What he did yesteryear, he wants to outdo this year. You haven't seen anything yet. If you will remember what God did, what God said, what God promised, and keep your mind on it. Stand on your feet. I'm thankful for the place I am in life. I'm thankful that Mandy and I had children very young. I've got a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. But I remember what it was like to have little kids that were annoying, just jabbering all the time. And then you would say things just to shut them up. If you be quiet and leave me alone, we're going to go to the zoo next week. And we make those promises because it doesn't require anything of us in this moment. But their little minds are like traps. They can't remember addition, multiplication, or subtraction, but they remember everything you said. And come sunrise on Monday morning, are we going to the zoo today? Daddy, you said we're going to the zoo this week. Not today. Tuesday, Daddy, is this the day? Are we going to the zoo today? Not today. We get to Friday, Daddy, we're running out of days. Because they remember what the Father said. And they remember what the Father said because he's never lied to them. And he's always come through with what he said. At least that's how it should be. Well, I'm here to tell you, if an earthly father would do that for his earthly kids, then I'm here to tell you we are responsible to hold God to his word and say, God, do you remember you said you heal all my afflictions? Do you remember you said that I could walk through the Jordan River on dry ground and that I would possess my promised land? And when I get to the land, that there would be giants, but we would defeat those giants, that we would live in houses we didn't build. We would live in cities we didn't. Oh, come on, somebody. Jesus, I remember my mind has not forgot. I'm going to open the altars in 30 seconds. My heroes are my mom and dad. The last 38 years of my life, they've been given terrible news dozens of times. Cancer this, cancer this, cancer this, cancer this. I've never seen my parents. Maybe they are behind closed doors. Maybe when it's just them two, but I doubt it. But I've never seen them kick the dirt. Can't believe it's come back. Can't believe. They just square their shoulders and say, he did it once. He'll do it again. When you have faith in God, you don't waver, you remember. When you have faith in God, you don't start looking back saying, man, look at all this. You look back and say, oh, he did it then. He's going to do it now. You don't start looking for your help. You know where your help is and where it comes from. I'm here to announce to somebody today, it's not a new word that you need. You need to remember the word that God established in your heart at VBS the day you got saved or last year. Remember God's word. I want to open the altar right now for